Welcome to our AJAG PD Pod, the place for discussion, debate, and learning about all things accounting. Our hosts, Ivan Tabak, Jonathan Tucker, are CPAs that have been in practice for more than 3 decades. Together, they bring varying experience and viewpoints to the table, not to mention a little humor, too. Join us as we talk through current issues and hot topics, tap into expert guest insights, and enjoy the odd walk down AJAG memory lane. Before we begin today's podcast, please note, although the educational material within the podcast has been carefully prepared, none of the persons involved in the preparation of the material accepts any legal responsibility for its contents or for any consequences arising from its use. As well, the podcast material and the references contained therein may reflect laws and practices that are subject to change. Advice regarding a particular fact or situation should always be reviewed by a qualified professional. This podcast is produced and distributed by AJAG Professional Development. For more information about AJAG or any of its offerings, please visit ajag.ca.
So, welcome back to AJAG PD Pod episode number 6. I'm Ivan Tabak.
And I'm Jonathan Tucker.
And today we'd like to welcome Gila Osip, the CEO of Livelihood Household Payroll. Gila, welcome. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your company and how you got started?
Okay, thanks. Well, thank you so much for inviting me to come here. It's very exciting. My name is Gila Osip, and I started Livelihood Pay in 2008. So we're going on quite a few years now. And about myself, I'm an accountant and was working in a small accounting firm, and we were doing some payroll, but not very clearly and not very structured, I would say.
Like most small accounting firms.
Yeah. So I realized that there was a need. I was also a young mom at the time and had a nanny and didn't really understand payroll as an accountant. Yeah. So I think that it was just because I'd come from a big firm where we didn't do any payroll. And then when I moved to the small firm, I learned about payroll. But all of a sudden, I had to do my own caregivers T4 and realize that there really is a lot of questions and people don't want to learn payroll for just one person.
Yeah.
And as a employer of a caregiver, you are an employer.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you have a lot of obligations that you didn't really realize when you took on having someone work for you in your home.
And we're not well set up as accounting firms to deal with the complexity and the, like, we would do payroll schedules for clients where it's a fixed amount, not hourly. And so if you're dealing in situations like that, like, we just prefer people do a big payroll.
Yeah. I mean, the resources are there for us to do it, but
yeah.
You know, we can't charge
the
time or the inclination. And then there's everything around it. You know, for just an owner manager, it's easy enough to do a regular payroll schedule. But when it gets into domestic employees, then
it's more trouble than it's worth.
There are a lot of nuances with household payroll that, as you said, most people don't realize at all. So that's where we come in, and we take it off of the accountant's plate, and we make you look good because we know what the employee is being paid because I actually physically pay the employees. So at year end, there's no, you let your nanny go halfway through the year and, we didn't prepare a record of employment, all these important obligations that you need to do.
Right. Or you pay them half in cash and half on the books, or they took some vacation, but paid or not paid.
Or missed source deduction. So we'll just call this a loan this month and then catch up for it the next month.
I guess so. So we don't see any of that because we are, you know, if you need to stop your pay, we take care of it right away for you.
So are there any trends, anything new that's come up?
I would say there's lots of trends. We're seeing a lot of families with multiple staff. So there are families that have personal chefs. That's a fun new area for us, and we we have a lot of clients that have house managers, and, you know, which are people really taking care of your whole house. There's a lot of families that we work with that both partners are working out of the home, working really long hours, and they need their house to run like a proper business. And so we see the multiple staff. So that's really interesting. And then we end up getting a lot of our information from the house manager.
Right.
The employer is always CC'd on the emails, but if there's changes to the other staff, the house manager actually totally takes that over.
That's so crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you started out just doing nannies, wasn't
right.
it?
Right. Because
that's you, that was your need.
Yeah. My company was actually called Tax for Nanny originally.
Right. I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah. We changed the name a few years ago. We don't do tax. So it didn't really make any sense to have a company that called tax. Yeah. And we really don't only do nannies anymore.
Right.
You know, most of our clients probably started with nannies. One of the trends, I guess, that going back to that is that sort of sandwich generation. Yeah. So we have a lot of clients that still have a nanny in their house, but now their parents are aging.
Yeah.
So now they have staff for their parents as well. And now you're managing two payrolls.
Yeah.
And you're trying to, you know, still run your own family and probably have a job outside of the house as well. Yeah. So.
Now, do you also take care of any small business with, call them, regular employees?
Yeah, we have we do. We handle up to 5 employees, I would say.
Why? You don't want to go bigger?
Because we're concierge payroll. So we do everything for our clients. We don't expect them to learn a payroll software. And
I see.
Okay. Once you start getting bigger, you probably have someone on your team that could handle, you know, undertaking on a little bit of knowledge with the payroll.
Yeah, yeah.
But we do see that, like, we see a lot of holdcos, so families, you know, with just they themselves are their employee, and we handle their payroll as well for them.
Oh, interesting. Oh, well, you know what? You've really tweaked my interest with the house manager. I mean, that's I didn't know that that was a thing now.
Well, maybe she can refer one to you.
Yeah, great. From my wife and I.
I walked. Yeah.
Well, you've got a couple of dogs, too. We could share the costs. Run our...
Well, I'll pay cash.
You better bleep that out.
Yeah. So what... You know, as accountants, obviously, you know, there are clients that ask us to take care of it, and sometimes we do, and sometimes we push back a bit. But, you know, for the accountants who do take on the payroll function for domestics, what are the biggest mistakes you see us making?
Yeah, so a lot of families, I would say that the most common mistakes that CPAs make when dealing with household payroll is to not ask the questions that we know to ask. So, for example, one of the most important things to ask a family is the employee living in your home or living out of your home? If the employee is living in, the family needs to understand that if they're not charging rent, that is a taxable benefit. If the employee is living out, most of the time the employee will get a metro pass or a bus pass or a transportation allowance. A lot of caregivers have their own cars now. So again, the CPAs just don't know to ask that because they're not doing this on a daily basis.
Right. And all that would be taxable benefits as well.
Taxable benefits. So yes, number one would be taxable benefits. Number two would be record of employment. I don't know a CPA out there that likes to prepare a record of employment for a caregiver or for any employee.
Yeah.
When we handle it, we hear a lot of the times with clients coming on, if they've had an accountant prepare a table for them in the past and they're now onboarding a new caregiver, they'll say, "Can you prepare the record of employment for me? My accountant doesn't know how to do it or doesn't have the ability to do it." So that would be the one thing. Another common mistake is just not checking in with the family throughout the year. So the family doesn't remember to tell the accountant that they let the nanny go or they hired a new person And then all of a sudden at year end, when you're scrambling to do the T4, right, the family tells you a million different things that happened throughout the year. Your tables aren't reconciling. They've never made their remittances. And
you're still wasting time.
Really, as a CPA, wasting your really important time and focusing on payroll, which families don't really see the benefit.
Or the value.
The value. I guess that's the word.
That's the case for most of what we do.
That's true.
Nobody likes to pay us for we'll call it the basics.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, what about workers' comp? I mean, I think, I know I've brought that up to clients who I've seen, you know, who are doing their own T4s for nannies, and I ask them about it, and they say, no, we don't need it. It's not important. We check. We don't have to.
Right.
You know, you tell them we know you have to, but they do what they want. But what...
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you know that workman's comp is mandatory is actually pretty fantastic, because most CPAs don't know that. So workers' comp, when a family has hired someone to work in their home with children more than 24 hours a week, or to do any type of housekeeping, WSIB, workers' comp in Ontario, is mandatory.
So let's talk about that. We're just talking about Ontario in this case, but people watching this might be outside of Ontario.
Exactly. Okay. So every province has, workman's comp is provincially regulated. Yeah. So every province has different rules. For example, British Columbia, workers' comp is mandatory no matter what, pretty much. I think it's like 10, 15 hours a week once you've hit that threshold. In Ontario, if you have a caregiver dealing with adults or elder care, that actually is optional. So the nuances of knowing which provinces are mandatory, which are not, what exact rules, we make sure that we know that and we guide our families.
Are you across the country?
We're across the country. Okay. We see that most of the caregivers are hired in BC, Alberta, and Ontario.
Right. That's no surprise. Okay. So you mentioned, Gila, you made reference to programs that are run. So tell us about the programs that you're referring to.
Yeah. So in the federal government has tried to bring in many new people from other countries as household employees. And throughout the years, the program always changes. So
is it one program?
They change the names and they actually change the rules every so often. So very common for the past many years was what we call the Temporary Foreign Worker Program, the LMIA, which is similar to any business that is trying to bring in a temporary foreign worker. So there were those rules.
What is LMIA?
LMIA is a labor market opinion.
Okay.
It is, you had to basically look to the Canada.
See
that, and you had to prove that there was no Canadian out there that would take your job. Right, so therefore, you need to bring in a domestic employee from outside. And that program was very stressful for the nannies, because the work permit for that employee had your specific name on it. So you, the employer, and if they didn't like working for that particular employer, or that employer passed away, all of a sudden you now can't work in Canada because your work permit is no longer valid.
Right.
So you have to go back and wait a few months until you find another job, and also find that job gets the paperwork back in place for the new employee.
So there was no grace period at all.
In your passport, exactly. It literally said you can only work for Ivan Tabak.
Wow. So if it's a couple, it would be one person of the couple that would. I was thinking of marriage breakdown. Like, what happens?
Yeah, we actually have that this week. We have a caregiver on an LMIA, and the marriage has broken down, and the one partner whose name is on that work permit does not want to keep that caregiver. Wow. And the other partner does. And, you know, there might be ways to work it. You'd have to contact an immigration consultant. We work with some amazing immigration consultants, and they may be able to help you. but that program is very, the rules are pretty specific. They did, because of that, they did start a new program, and they call it the pilot program, which is a terrible name.
Yeah.
It took years to come into play. It started right when COVID hit. And so a lot of employees are just coming into Canada now that are, that even signed up for that program in 2020. And the good thing about that program is you are hired to be a caregiver or a, you know, an elder caregiver or a nanny, but you can switch employers much easier.
Okay.
So there's different rules. There's different obligations with salaries. You have to be up to date with what the rules are and stuff. So as I said, we work with immigration consultants that keep us informed of the rules and make sure that everybody is following.
Are there a lot of live-in? You were talking about live-in earlier. Is that a thing in the past, or is that still very common?
That is a good question. Live-out nannies and live-out elder care workers, it's extremely expensive for the family. So I know I did say that we have clients that have personal chefs and like that, and they're, you know, they may not be as price sensitive, but a family that's hiring a live-out nanny, you have to imagine that nanny has to live somewhere, and they're going to pay rent in a big city because that's where most of them are being hired. And therefore, the salary ranges are between, you know, in on Toronto, between $65,000 and $80,000 plus benefits.
Wow, that's a lot of money, eh? So I guess that's why sometimes people go the cash route.
She's never seen that.
Never.
No.
No, I've heard about it. So
It's an interesting thing because obviously we do hear about it, but I think it's really important to say that, you know, these people, that the industry is taking care of your most precious assets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your children, your aging parents, your home, and you want to be treated the way, I always tell my clients, treat people the way you would want to be treated.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to take a cash job.
Yeah.
Like, there was a big issue with COVID when there was employees that couldn't get served because their families were not paying them properly.
Right.
Not my clients, but other people. And therefore, the families felt very guilty and they had to keep paying their caregivers because the caregiver couldn't come to work. But, you know, things like that. It's also CPP, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people are relying, a lot of caregivers aren't contributing to an RSP. So they're relying on CPP.
Yeah.
Or they're going to need EI for maternity benefits, illness benefits, all those options, all those important things.
Yeah.
And you're taking that away from them.
I see it going both ways, though. So sometimes the caregivers are the ones who want cash.
Right.
And other times it's the people needing the caregivers that say, okay, well, maybe I should pay cash and, you know, not claim it as an expense. So it's still out there. I mean, that's still a pretty...
Yeah, I would say it is out there. I think that it's getting better. I think caregivers are getting more educated.
Yeah,
they understand what they're taking on. I do believe that CRA will crack down on...
But sometimes it comes, you know, because I remember with my mom, just before she passed, she was still living at home, and it was like, okay, we've got to get somebody in to take care of her. And you're making these decisions to bring people in, and you're not necessarily thinking, oh, I'm entering into an employment relationship now. So sometimes those situations, I guess you run across those, right?
That's why you were drawing all the cash, huh?
Yeah, and I do believe that, you know, I think, again, that's where the CPAs...
Yeah.
You hope that the family, you have a relationship with your family that they will tell you right away when they hire a caregiver. It's a lot harder to clean up after the fact.
Yeah.
So I like to tell my clients, you know, speak to your parents. Let's make these decisions when you're not in such a rush to make them.
Yeah.
And talk to your parents about what they want and how much it's going to cost, including the tax liabilities as well.
Yeah, and the frequency and just the process of what needs to... So what do you do when you explain your process for people that aren't used to...
Yeah, so as I said, we're a concierge-based payroll company, and what we do is we handle pretty much everything. What that means is The employees are paid on direct deposit. Money comes flowing right from the family's bank account. What is owed to CRA plus what's owed to the caregiver comes out of your bank account 2 business days before payday, and then the employee wakes up, pay stubs are generated. I don't know a CPA out there that wants to create a pay stub for an employee.
Right.
Legally, you are required to give your employee a pay stub with every pay. So we have an app for employees' phones. They can see their pay stubs. We can email things out if people need it. And so it's all done direct deposit.
Because, do people call in hours or do they enter hours?
Most employees are on salary.
Yeah.
Well, for the majority of families, the caregivers really prefer the salary based.
Stability.
Yeah. Exactly. They have expenses. They need to know their income. You know, within a few hours, if there's overtime, some families will email us and let us know that there is overtime, and we add it to the next pay possible. If we've missed this pay, we'll just add it to next pay.
And any inquiries from CRA, peer reviews, anything like that?
Yes.
Does it come right to you? Like, are you the mailing address?
Yeah.
We used to be the mailing address for most of our clients. We tend not to set them up that way. We do want the family to take ownership.
You just hope they'll
pass. Well, there are no peer reviews because I do it perfectly. That's the difference.
Okay, fair enough.
Because it's a direct deposit. Yeah. The system is going to calculate it. So we actually don't have any peer reviews. Okay. The only time we have peer reviews is when they've had a caregiver before they hired us.
Right.
And we have to tell them, you have to show that to your accountant because we didn't do those calculations.
Right. And adjustments, like if there's some kind of adjustment for a payroll so I guess what I'm getting at is how much of this is automated? How much of this is picking up the phone and talking to you or to a staff person?
So we always tell the family, we only need to know if there's a change, right? So if your employee's getting paid the same amount every week, we don't need to hear from you. Yeah. If your employee's taking paid vacation, we don't need to hear about that.
Yeah.
It's when the employee is taking unpaid vacations, unpaid sick days, overtime, or a vacation payout. So a lot of caregivers don't take their vacation and at the end of the year may need to be paid out for their vacation. So we would help the family with that as well.
Right. Bonuses, I presume, happen sometimes.
Yep, bonuses do happen, and raises. We're also, because we're so involved in the industry, we know the market. So our families use us as a resource to determine, are we in line? You know, we love our caregiver. We don't want to lose them.
Right.
What is the going salary?
Right.
We do have that knowledge, so we're able to help the family.
What are some of the more, are those the more complicated issues in terms of payroll, would you say?
I would say that most complicated issues would be around, as you said, marriage breakups, things like that. So the other issue that we do see is nanny shares. So two families want to share a nanny, and the nanny wants to take home a net pay. So I don't know if you guys work with a lot of families that say that, but caregivers historically have always asked for a net pay, so a take-home pay. And we need to work backwards to get that. Well, that's not too complicated if it's only one employee, one family. All of a sudden, now you've got a nanny share. You can't just use like, oh, you're the main employer, you're the secondary employer. The families want to spend the same amount of money. So we have to like look at the total salary and then split everything. So that becomes a complicated issue. And then when one family gives up that nanny share, now what happens?
Right.
So we work with the families on that. We try and help, you know, navigate that issue. So that would be one of our main complications.
Do you ever deal with workers' comp claims? Do you help?
We don't help. No, we don't help with the claims. We do see claims, though. I'm not going to.
You do, eh?
We do.
Wow.
Yes. We have seen in the history, not that many, luckily. Yeah. But everything from minor issues where like a child has gone like that with their head, banged a tooth out of somebody or hurt somebody. A lot of the time, this summer particularly, we had a few nannies get hurt when they were walking their family dog. So those became bigger issues. And
how do they get hurt walking a dog?
The dog gets attacked, or the dog gets attacked by another dog on a leash, and then the nanny falls and breaks the wrists and now needs to take 6 weeks off because you can't work with a broken wrist. So that was an issue that happened this summer, that we helped navigate. And then we also helped the family. We stopped the pay so that...
To get them onto
AI
and workers.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it sounds like you could almost become like an employment agency as well.
Yeah.
Because you've got the contact with nannies. If you know one who's not happy, maybe.
Yeah, we find that we have some great partners that we do. And that is something we do help with. We refer out a lot. We know the industry really well. So we have agencies across Canada that we can refer our clients to. We also have, as I said, immigration consultants. And recently we've added benefits. So we find that the industry, because it is so lucrative, one of the reasons that caregivers used to leave the industry is because they needed health benefits and families weren't able to offer them without, getting the caregiver a medical exam and stuff like that. So we have started our own benefit program called the Livelihood Benefit Program. And it's now becoming more mainstream. Employees are asking for it. They want the benefits. They want to stay in the industry, but they do need some protection. So we help the families with that. Wow.
So health and dental, that type?
Yeah, health and dental. Wow. It's not like a crazy program.
Yeah.
We want it to be paid by the employer.
Yes.
100%. You don't want a nanny to have to choose, ideally, between, cash and and so we like it to be more employer based and very emerged, to cover the.
So again, as a service, you would just add that as part of the service so that an employer doesn't have to think about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the caregiver doesn't need to take a medical. So you have to be a Livelihood client to get Livelihood.
I see.
That's the group plan.
So
you're going to have to follow all your
clients. Clients might be, might be an option to look at that, but we'd have to get them over.
Take them off your plate and bring them over to us.
Interesting.
That's great. So what's the next step? Like, do you have any other that you would be willing to divulge? Is there any other expansion area?
No, not yet, but we do see that the families are asking for more and more things. So we're looking at our options. And
so you're going to put the tax back in the name and start doing tax returns?
Definitely not tax returns. No, I prefer CPAs to do that, and I want the CPAs to refer to me. I am a CPA, but I feel like everyone should specialize in what they're doing, and I couldn't do a corporate tax return anymore, and that's why I do.
We feel the same way, don't we?
Yeah. Sometimes just getting beyond the...
That's crazy. Yeah.
Beyond our capability sometimes. So...
So you mentioned you're a concierge service. So what does that mean in terms of costs?
That's a good question. A lot of the times our accountants do ask us that because we want to make sure that it's reasonable to the family and it's cost effective to them. So we charge $70 a month for payroll services. We have a small registration fee. There's a lot of paperwork that's involved to get us to the point. Not on the family's end. It's all through DocuSign, but we prepare a bunch of documents. We ask them to sign it. So we charge a $100 registration fee, and then there's $70 a month for your first employee.
And is that one payroll per month? What if I come to you and say, but I would like them paid every week? I mean,
No, we most employees, that's a good question. Most employees want to get paid weekly.
Okay.
The industry is very common, so we don't charge extra. We prefer when families pay weekly or biweekly. Semi-monthly is always a bit complicated to explain to a caregiver when they're looking at a pay stub and it says, 86.6 hours a week to a family as well, and they don't understand it. So
how much is it for additional
employees? It depends on how many employees you have, but, we take off a small fee per extra employee.
So it could be... 70, 60, 50.
Yeah, and things, like exactly. That. Yeah. We look at sort of the whole family with elder care because there is many times where it's round the clock care. You're going to hire probably multiple employees so that you don't have to pay overtime. So you want to have 4 to 6 staff on duty. Yeah. And that ends up costing the family, but we try and navigate that and reduce our costs so that the family can still do that.
You talk about it as an industry.
Yeah.
I never thought of it as an industry. So are there any resources like that we as accountants should know if clients ask us about this or that? Like,
I guess my biggest takeaway for accountants is to realize, as you said, this is an industry.
Yeah.
This is
like
going
there's
to
standards
become...
of pay and things like that, which I wouldn't have thought. I wouldn't know where to look.
And I think it's just going to get more and more worse, right? With elder care coming down the pipeline, a lot of families do not want to have their caregiver. Even if their elder goes into a home, you're probably going to hire somebody to go and spend time with your family member if you're able to.
Yeah.
And so things like that, it's going to become more common. People are going to be needing it keep us.
Are there standards? Are there pay standards for that type of care as opposed to nannies? Because I know there are minimums.
I would say elder care is probably more expensive than child care.
Is it?
Yeah.
But there's no legislated thresholds for
type of pay.
No, there isn't. It becomes, especially if it's federally, if it's an employee that's Canadian or has an open work permit, it's a negotiation between the family and the caregiver. If it's on a work permit, then you need to follow certain guidelines, and it would be slightly, the job bank would indicate that elder care is more expensive than child care.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Did not know that.
Always learn something new.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this has been really interesting and enlightening, and we've learned a few things, I think.
Yeah.
Hopefully anybody watching will have picked up a few ideas. So thank you very much, Gila, for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful to chat.
And how can people get in touch?
Please to go to livelihoodpay.com. That is our website. Our phone number is on the website as well. And we also have a contact us. So if accountants have any questions, please use our website as our tool to find us.
That's good to know.
That's great. Well, thanks again. And everybody, check in again for our next AJAG PD Pod. Take care.